विवस्त्रायात् अपह धृतव्रता व्यगाहत एतत् यो देवहेलनम् भद्वा अञ्जलि मूर्ध्नि अपनुत्तये अम्हसः कृत्वा नमः अधः वसनम् प्रगृहताम्। यूयं विवस्त्रा यत् अपो धृतव्रता व्यगाहते तत्तद् देवहेलनम् बद्वाञ्जलिं मूर्ध्न्या अपनुत्तयेम संहस कृत्वा नमोध वसनं प्रगृहत्ता। योयं विवस्त्र यत् अपो धृतव्रता व्यगाहतैतत्तद् देवहेलनम् बद्वाञ्जलिं मूर्ध्न्य अपनुत्तयम् हसः कृत्वा नमोदवसनम् प्रगृहीता। योयं विवस्त्रा यद् अपो धृतव्रता व्यगातैतत्तद् देवहेलनम् बद्वाञ्जलिं मूर्ध्ना अपनुत्तयेम सः कृत्वा नमोध वसनं प्रगृहता। मूयं विवस्त्राय दपोद्रितं व्रता तव्रता व्यघाते तथु देवहेलनम् अनन्यमूर्जनापनुत्तयम् सः कृत्वा नमोधमसनम् प्रगृहताम्। माताजी यूयं विवस्त्रा यदपो धृताव्रता व्यहाहते तत्तदेव हेलनम् भद्वाञ्जलिमोदापनुत्तयम् सा कृत्वा नमोदवसनं प्रगृह्यताम्। योयां यो विवस्त्रा निकिड यद् बिकॉस अपह इन द वाटर धृतव्रता वेल एक्सिक्यूटिंग अवर वेदिक रिचुअलिस्टिक वाव व्यगाहत बेदेड एतत्तत् దిస్ యూ ఇండీడ్ దేవహేళనం an offense against Varuna and other gods. Badva Anjalim with palms joined together. Murdhni upon your heads. Apanuttaye for counteracting. Amhasa your sinful action. Kritva Namaha, paying obeisances. Adaha Vasanam, your lower garments. Pragrihata, please take back. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: Lord Krishna said, you girls bathed naked while executing your vows, and that is certainly an offense against the demigods. To counteract your sin, you should offer obeisances while placing your joint palms above your heads. Then you should take back your lower garments. Purport: Krishna wanted to see the full surrender of the gopis, and thus he ordered them to offer obeisances with their palms joined above their heads. In other words, the gopis could no longer cover their bodies. We should not foolishly think that Lord Krishna is an ordinary lusty boy enjoying the naked beauty of the gopis. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, and he was acting to fulfill the loving desire of the young coward girls of Vrindavan. In this world, we would certainly become lusty in a situation like this. But to compare ourselves to God is a great offense. And because of this offense, we will not be able to understand Krishna's transcendental position, for we will wrongly take him to be materially conditioned like ourselves. To lose transcendental sight of Krishna is certainly a great disaster for one trying to relish the bliss of the Absolute Truth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya చక్షురుమిళితాం యేనా తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదామయం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేయం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుత పదకమలం శ్రీ గురున్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపాం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితాం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవదూతం పరిజనాసైతం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ నమ ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణి హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగే రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియ వాంచాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ పాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రియాద్వైత గదాధార్ శివాసాది గౌరభ. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. Once in a park, on a chair, a person was sitting down and he had all his children, you know, jumping and hustling around here and there, creating a lot of noise. So a passerby was watching this. He was feeling that these children are creating so much of disturbances because he has been watching for a long time. And then he just could not tolerate, and after some time he just approached him and said, "My dear sir, you are sitting alone all here and all your children are just creating a lot of commotion here. Then why don't you just tell them to keep quiet?" So this man became a little grave and he told him, he said, "My wife just passed away and the children don't know about it. And I thought that how can I tell this particular news, reveal this to them? And the children are thinking that the mother is still alive and mother is at home, but they don't know this and they are just enjoying. So I thought let them enjoy for some time, because ultimately once they know the news, then they will definitely feel sad about it." So after hearing this, the person who was just tried, gone to instruct him, he felt very bad. He said, "If only I had known about it, I would not have made this statement or approached him, you know." So many times what happens in this particular world, material world, we always judge others by the externals without knowing what is the reason behind or what has happened, right? We suddenly come to a particular decision, and either we brand a person as so and so, or we just make an opinion about that person. That's what happens in this world. We judge others by their actions, but not by their intentions, you know. Like a similar incident which I heard from one of our devotees was when, you know, passing by traveling in the train, and one boy just sitting next to the window is all the time, you know, shouting at his father, and he says, "Father, look at the trees. Father, look at the, you know, clouds. Father, look at the scenery." So he was just, you know, very much excited, and this was irritating quite a lot to the person who was sitting next door. So, and the father was just acknowledging whatever the son was saying, and for a person like us, for anyone, it would not appear something very interesting to see anything outside like this. But for the child, he was just jumping. And he was not a child. He was just actually a grown-up person. You know, he was 15 years old. And then it was told. He said, "Why don't you just tell him to keep quiet? What's happening? What's so new in this?" He says, "No, he recently got his eyes. You know, eyesight. He was blind all throughout. And now that he has got his eyesight, he is seeing everything new. And he's very excited to see the whole thing. You know. I heard once His Grace Shikshashtaka Prabhu mentioning one very nice incident also. While he was traveling, he was saying that he saw someone, you know, chanting with the left hand. So, for some time, it seems he did not say anything. After a while, he just thought of, you know, speaking about it. And he said, "You should not chant with the left, you should chant with the right." But ultimately, at that moment, when he was about to say, it seems the wind blew and then his shawl fell off from his shoulder. And then he found that he did not have a right hand. So that's the reason why he was chanting with the left. So many a times what happens is that we just commit such mistakes. We just see the externals and we judge, you know, that this person is not doing the right way, this person is not doing this way, like that. So similarly, this particular topic here we are discussing is a most misunderstood topic actually. About Krishna's stealing the gopis' garments or Krishna having a rasa dance with the gopis. This is actually the most misunderstood of all the topics. But if you know the background and if you analyze for what reason it has been, then we'll never commit a mistake about it. It is said that, you know, most of the time we are always wrong because of judgment. Isolence Radhana Swami Maharaj once was mentioning that only once in his life he judged a person wrong, and he says since then he says he never judges anyone. That's what he was mentioning over. So it is said that, you know, whenever we see Krishna doing such activities, we suddenly jump to certain conclusions that Krishna is immoral. This should not be done by him. Why is he doing like this? Why he has to do like that? He is Supreme Lord. Actually, the problem is not with the Lord. The problem is with us. Because we have that sort of a attitude in our heart, we just think that Krishna should not do like that. But from the point of view of Krishna, nothing is immoral actually. He is the master of the whole creation. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matta sarvam pravartate. From me everything comes. All the material and the spiritual world. So for him, like nothing is immoral. Stealing is not immoral because everything belongs to him. If I steal somebody else's, then yes, then it is not right. But for Krishna, everything belongs to him. What is there to steal for him? So we are the ones who are at fault. We see something wrong, and why we see something wrong? Because we have that feeling within our heart. We have formed a certain conception in our heart that this is wrong. Dancing with someone is wrong, or engaging in certain activities is immoral, and that's why we just also impose those activities on Krishna, saying that if Krishna does this, that means Krishna is also doing something wrong, which is not the fact. An example that, you know, a surgeon sometimes has to perform a surgery, and for that sometimes the body has to be naked. He has to perform certain surgeries where the person has to be completely naked and the operation has to be done. But when the operation is done, you know, nobody tells the surgeon that you have done something immoral. Surgery had to be done. In fact, on the contrary, he has been, you know, praised for doing a very wonderful surgery. Or he has been applauded for doing a successful surgery. Right? The point is, only when, you know, some things are done inappropriately, then he may be condemned. It's like that. So once you see from that point of view as to for what reason, how and why the act was performed, then we may not jump into such conclusions. So it is said that, you know, because of poor fund of knowledge, we misunderstand this particular topic. As Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna's dealing with the gopis is highly misunderstood by each and every one of us, in fact. That's why Srila Prabhupada says that one should read the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. First. Why? Because once you read the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, then we will come to know who Krishna is. How great he is. You know? And then when you know who Krishna is, how great he is, how everything comes out from him, how the Mahatvatva comes out, how the Lord expands, and then, you know, how this creation takes place. And if at all, if anybody reads the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes nothing but this creation, then we'll understand how great he is. And when we understand that greatness of the Lord, then we'll not at all jump to such conclusions. We'll not make a mistake. Many times in this material world also, if you do not know who the person is, sometimes you may just become very frivolous in your activity or in your dealings with that person. Like I just observed here in the temple on a Sunday, you know, one of the topmost industries who regularly comes here to the temple, he was sitting in some corner, and when he comes, he doesn't come, you know, announce that he's come here. He just comes and quietly sits at one place. But the person who was, you know, trying to adjust the sitting arrangement, making people sit properly. You know, he just said, "Chalo, chalo, aage, you know, go ahead." So he did not know who the person is. But suppose if I had known who the person is, probably he would have behaved with me in a different way. He would have said, "Please, sir, just sit. You know, just sit in the front. Maybe just sit on the side." So you would have dealt with the person with some respect. You would not have dealt with the person in that particular way. But then that happens with most of us like that. You know, one of the patients who I was interacting, for the first time when he came, you know, I never knew who the person was. He just entered into the clinic and I said, "Please, you have to sit outside." You know, so he quietly sat for almost about maybe 30 minutes. And then when I took him inside, that time he said, "No, I actually came to just to take an appointment from you. I don't have the ability to sit down for long. So that's the reason I just came inside to speak." So then I said, "Okay, I'm very sorry about it." But then in the course of discussion, I really came to know that this person is actually the principal of the Wellinker Institute of Management. And a very big position. And in a course of discussion, I came to know that this person had arranged about 4 programs of His Holiness Ramanathaswamy Maharaj in his institute. And when I spoke this to His Holiness Ramanathaswamy Maharaj, he said, "I know him very well." He said, "We had arranged quite a lot of programs of, you know, he has arranged so many programs of mine in his place." And when I actually, you know, then he said, "Why don't you have one more program for him?" And that time Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Ramanathaswamy Maharaj, both of them gave a wonderful class. And he was not well. He was actually taken on a wheelchair. You know, the program was on the 4th floor on the auditorium. And this person was carried by his own students on the chair all the way up because it did not have a lift. And Ramanathaswamy Maharaj, in his inaugural, when he started a speech, he said that this person, he has commanding respect, not demanding respect. And he told all the students to clap. He also clapped and everyone stood and gave a standing ovation to this particular person. Then I realized, my students, I am just dealing with someone whom I did not know. And how dear he is to someone who is guiding me. So, you know, sometimes we may make mistakes like that in our dealings and we may not know who the person is. So what really requires, as Srila Prabhupada says, the knowledge. We need to have a proper knowledge. And once we have the knowledge, then we'll approach a particular incident with that knowledge in hand. So whenever something happens externally, we find that something which is not according to our own understanding, then we should try to find out that why this particular activity has been performed and you know, how I should look at it. So this is the thing. That's why Srila Prabhupada mentions that it's very difficult for one to understand Krishna's Leela. That's why Krishna mentions, "Janma karma chame divam evam yo viti tattvata." He says, one who understands the nature of my birth and my activities will not take birth again here in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. So why Krishna says, because it's very difficult for someone to understand the birth and activities. Krishna purposely sometimes, you know, does some activities just to fool us. But we fools, we don't realize that. As Srila Prabhupada mentions that you are talking about why Krishna dances. He says, first you try to lift Govardhan hill and then afterwards you can talk about it. Can you lift a Govardhan hill for so long? Krishna is doing so many other extraordinary activities. Why are you not pointing out those things? Why are you not pointing out those things where Krishna effortlessly killed all the demons? We don't talk about it. Or we don't glorify those activities. But then when we don't glorify this, who am I or who are you to just try to point a fault at something which you don't know or you are not aware about it? This is so... Ultimately, we should understand the thing in a complete perspective, that we just don't take one thing out of it and then say, oh, this is not what it's supposed to do. We should understand that what Krishna is doing. Krishna can float the universe. One lecture is Ramanathaswamy Maharaj was mentioning that Krishna can float the planets for eternity. And he doesn't do anything. He can just sit in his own place, dham, and he can do innumerable activities. Yeah, he can float planets, he can float universes, stars, everything. And he can get everything going on without his coming personally over there and supervising. Not necessary at all. You know, when Krishna can do so many things, and when, you know, you see Krishna doing such activities, then we feel that, oh, Krishna should not have done this. This is the biggest mistake. We try to compare ourselves. As here it's mentioned, to compare ourselves to God is a great offense. And because of this offense, we'll not be able to understand Krishna's transcendental position, for we wrongly take him to be materially conditioned like ourselves. What was the exalted position of gopis? It is said that, in the Shastra, the Lord himself as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies the exalted position of the gopis. Ramya kachit upasana vrajavadu vargenava kalpita. He is glorified. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is a person who was the topmost of all renunciates. In fact, he would not even, allow a woman to come in front of him. What to speak of interacting with him. But Supreme Lord, when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually, glorified the exalted position of the gopis. Sukhdev Goswami, he was the topmost renunciate. If that was the case, then why would Sukhdev Goswami spend, verses after verses glorifying gopis and Srimati Radharani? Why would Uddhav like to take the dust of the feet of the gopis? Why would he do like that? He said, I would like to become a blade of grass and let the gopis step their feet on my head. So it is said that what is the qualification of gopis? The gopis' qualification was only to please Krishna. They had only one desire, that we want to please the Lord. That's all. They loved Krishna, not because of anything, but they just loved because they like Krishna. That's all. That was the position of the gopis. There was one thing. And that's why they fully surrendered to the desires of the Lord. And second qualification of gopis is that they were 24 hours completely meditating on how to please and serve Krishna. This was the position of the gopis. As we all know the story of how Narad Muni once was going to different places, as Krishna is having a headache. And only the dust of the feet of a devotee would take off his headache. But nobody is ready to give. But when the gopis were approached by Narad Muni, the gopis were ready to give the dust. He says, do you know what is going to be a consequence if you give this dust? He says, you'll go to hell. He says, we don't mind going to hell for eternity if we can relieve Krishna of his headache, even for a moment. That is the consciousness of the gopis. And what is our consciousness as compared to that? We are materially contaminated. We have so many anarthas in our heart. The anarthas of lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. And what about meditating? We can't even think of Krishna for some time, We have to force ourselves to think about Krishna. Like Rupa Goswami mentions, Adoshraddha tata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya anartha nivritti. He says, anartha nivritti, just Adoshraddha. First we have little faith, and then afterwards we engage in sadhu sangha. Then we realize and we understand what we are supposed to do, the do's and the don'ts. And this, over a period of time, maybe after a long time, then anartha nivritti, whatever is there in our heart, just goes off. That's going to take a long time. And only after that there is a nishtha. Then there is ruchi. The taste will come. And then bhava. And then afterwards ultimately is prema bhakti. So we have a long way to go actually, if you see from that point of view. So if you try to analyze ourselves, that who are we actually? We are the ones who have a lot of anarthas in our heart, lot of desires to enjoy ourselves. We want to please Krishna, we want to please the devotees, but then we also have our own motives. We also have our own separate desires other than the desire to please Krishna. And about meditation, we are not even fit enough to meditate for 24 hours. Even when you have to chant our 64 rounds, so that becomes an effort for us to just chant our rounds. You know, it becomes a great effort just to remember Krishna. Whereas for the gopis, they were 24 hours meditating on the Lord, and at the same time, they were all the time thinking, how can I please Krishna? This particular incident here, Srila Prabhupada, in one of his conversations, he mentions that why Krishna performed this particular activity. It is said that the gopis actually had prayed to Katyayani that they wanted Krishna to be their husband. Symbolic, why? Because gopis wanted to please the Lord, and husband is one, you know, where you can please to the fullest. So gopis wanted Krishna to be the husband so they can completely please to the fullest without any personal agenda for themselves. So because they prayed to Katyayini, and Srila Prabhupada mentions that here we don't speculate. Because gopis wanted to please Krishna and they wanted to have a husband, the only time when a girl can be naked is in front of the husband, that's all. So Krishna performed this particular pastime by which he just made the gopis be naked. Why? So that their desire can be fulfilled of being naked in front of their husband. So he ultimately accepted them as their wives. So this was what Srila Prabhupada mentioned. So we don't speculate. We just understand from this point of view. And the gopis, they never had even a slightest desire to enjoy Krishna. They just wanted to please Krishna by their activity. That's all. Nothing else. And Krishna wanted to reciprocate with their desire. Krishna wanted to reciprocate. Okay, this is what the gopis want. They want to please me fully. They want me as a husband. Okay, I just want to reciprocate with the desire. That's why he performed this particular leela, Srila Prabhupada mentions. And he says, we don't speculate. We just understand the Shastra as it is, and then we realize that this is what the gopis wanted, and that is what Krishna did. Just to reciprocate with the desires of the Lord. So Krishna does nothing but only fulfilling the desires. And Srila Prabhupada later on mentions why Krishna does like this. He says Krishna is Rasraj. Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Sindhu. He is full of rasas. Now when we are talking about rasa, we think only about rasa, ras lila of that rasa. Or we think only about, you know, some juice, that rasa. But Krishna is the reservoir of all rasas. And Srila Prabhupada gives an example of a butcher. He says a butcher likes to kill animals, you know, like, and sees them flapping their wings. No, if you try to cut a hen. And very painful. But sometimes a butcher may like to do that. He wants to enjoy. And gives an example. That the son was very scared to see that happening. He says, why are you doing this? He says, because I like. He says, that's one type of rasa. But this is a concordic type of rasa. It's a perverted type of rasa. You know? But when Krishna does, Krishna also has so many rasas like that. Sirias, Krishna has virya ras. Krishna wants to fight with Bhishma, that's virya ras. There is madhurya ras. There is dasya ras. There is sakya ras. So many rasas are there. And Krishna is rasraj. Krishna enjoys all these things. Krishna enjoys everything. We only think of, you know, narrow-minded, we just think of only one type of rasa. But if you see from Krishna's point of view, Krishna is enjoying everything. And what about dealings with Krishna, with others? Krishna deals everyone with equal vision. You know? Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I see everyone with equal vision. I am not partial to anyone. What do you mean by that? He says somebody wants to serve Krishna as a calf, as Prabhupada mentions. Krishna reciprocates with the calf and embraces the calf. Somebody wants to serve Krishna as a cow. Krishna loves the cow also and embraces the cow also. And the gopas, they also want to enjoy with Krishna. They want to play with Krishna. Krishna plays with them. He says in our photographs also, sometimes we see Krishna is embracing a calf. Krishna is with the cows. Krishna is with his cowherd boys. Krishna is with the, the peacocks, the other birds. And when a girl comes and Krishna, you know, the girl wants to be with Krishna, want to serve Krishna in that way, Krishna also reciprocates. So Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is not impartial. So whoever wants to reciprocate, whoever wants to serve Krishna in whatever way, Krishna reciprocates in that particular way. So he says that Krishna doesn't think that, oh, here is a beautiful girl, let me embrace this beautiful girl. No. Krishna may embrace that beautiful girl, Krishna may embrace even the cow. Krishna may embrace even the calf. Krishna may embrace even the coward boy. So Krishna doesn't have that, what do you say, infatuation, or Krishna doesn't have that sort of attraction towards girls. That's why he is doing like that. No, for Krishna, everything is the same. Krishna is Atmaram. He actually doesn't need anything external to satisfy his senses. He doesn't need anything. In fact, we need. Because we are lusty. We have those desires within our heart to enjoy. When a boy and a girl come together, they both want to enjoy their senses. That's all. The boy wants to enjoy a girl because to satisfy senses. The girl wants to enjoy a boy because satisfying the senses. But nothing like that with Krishna. Krishna is Atmaram. He is fully satisfied with himself. He doesn't need external agents, external things, objects to satisfy himself. So when Krishna reciprocates with the coward girls, because the desire is to please Krishna by that, Krishna just does a particular activity with the girls. Krishna behaves in a particular manner with Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj as Vatsalya Bhav. Krishna is with the Sakya Ras, with the coward boys, with others, with cows. That's because this type of reciprocation. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that we should understand that Krishna is impartial. He is not partial to anyone. And here in this particular verse, the purport mentions that gopis wanted to see the full surrender of, Krishna wanted to see the full surrender of the gopis. You know, so gopis actually by their particular activity, they exhibited that particular mood of surrender. And what is actually surrender? Surrender is that I will do if it pleases you the most. You know, so Krishna wanted to, remove the dress and be naked, they are ready to do that. Gopis were ready to leave their family, their children, the husband, everything behind, because that was the calling. They wanted to see the pleasure of Krishna. They wanted to see that Krishna is pleased. They wanted to see that whatever I can do to please Krishna, I will do. That is what is surrender. Surrender means I will do what is necessary. Srila Prabhupada mentions that when a spiritual master tells you to do a particular activity, without a second thought, if you do that particular act, then that is surrender. But if you have a slightest doubt, or if you just think that, oh, I should not do this, or maybe, why I should do this, if you have that doubt, then that is not surrender. You know? So, ultimately we have to understand that we see gopis from that point of view. That gopis pass the test of fully surrendering to the Lord. Whatever it may take, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, ultimately, all of us have to come to a level that we can fully surrender our lives to the Lord. At the time of death, if you have a slightest of the desire to enjoy this material world, we'll be back in the spiritual world, in the material world again. We'll never be able to go back to the spiritual world. Ultimately, we have to come to the platform where we can be fully Krishna conscious, that we do activities which will please the Lord and His devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also mentions, Manas Dego Jo Kichimore Arpula Nanda Arpula Dwapade Nanda Kishore. Manas Dehogyo, whatever my mind, my words, my body, Jo Kichimore, whatever I have, I want to arpen, I want to give it to you. Arpula Dwapade Nanda Kishore. So here Srila Prabhupada, at this particular point in some of the discussions, he was mentioning that the centralmost theme or a point in the gopis' life is their selfless service. The gopis did not want anything for themselves. When Krishna met them after the rasa dance, Krishna said, I cannot repay your debt. Whatever you have done, I cannot do it. I cannot repay you. Because Krishna became so much indebted to them, he said, I cannot repay you. So whatever you are, just be satisfied with that. And the gopis also did not expect anything from Krishna. Gopis did not say, oh, we want something from you. No, gopis did not want anything from Krishna. And that's what is called a selfless service. So we should come to the point where we can selflessly serve Krishna. That's the point. Like one example of Sridhar Kolvecha. Like, you know, in Chaitanya Leela. Actually, his roof did not, it was not fully, foolproof also. There are so many holes in the roof. He was completely a poor person. He did not have food to eat. Sometimes there would be days when he would be not eating anything. But during the Mahaprakash Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that, please tell me, what can I give you? Can I give you the 8 mystic siddhis? He said, I don't want that. I can give you a place in my planet next to me. He says, that also I don't want. So Chaitanya was bewildered. He says, what do you want? He says, I just want devotional service, birth after birth after birth. That's all. Once his original Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that when you at a signal, sometimes when you stop your car, somebody comes and tries to clean the glass, and then you think of giving him a tip. But this is something so revolutionary that when you wipe and then a person is trying to give you the tip, he says, I don't want anything, give me more. Give me more service to clean. Give me more opportunity to serve. The person will become bewildered. So that's what happens, you know. So the devotees of the Lord, they don't want anything from the Lord. They are just only interested in only serving the Lord unconditionally. That's all. Another example I can give is about Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. Rupa Goswami, on the day of appearance day of his Guru Maharaj, the Sanatana Goswami, he wanted to give him something. He wanted to make some nice footstep for his pleasure. So, but then because they would always do Madhukari, they didn't know anything with them. So he was thinking and thinking, what can I do? And just then, a small girl comes there and gets a pot of kheer, sweet rice. And says, please, I am coming from this village and we had a festival and just wanted to get this for you. Please take it. And she was so enchanting and beautiful that Rupa Goswami could not take his eyes away from her. And after she went away, when he took it home, took it his place, Kutir, and gave it to Sanatana Goswami, and both of them were accepting, honoring that sweet rice. That time Sanatana Goswami started wondering. He says, just wondering, who is this? Who gave you this? He says, I was just thinking about what can I give you, and then a small girl came and then gave this pot of kheer to. He says, please describe who this girl is like. And when he described, Rupa Goswami described, Sanatana Goswami understood that she is none other than Srimati Radharani. And Sanatana Goswami chastised Rupa Goswami and said, we don't accept service from Srimati Radharani. He says, we don't. Our duty is to just serve without expectation, without any returns. So this is what is called as a selfless mood, So basically we have to develop that mood that we can serve in a way by which we don't have any ulterior motives. And when we serve, we have selflessly we serve without any expectation. If we expect something, that means we are like those businessmen, that we are doing something so that we can get something out from there. So we don't do that. We just serve in a way that we don't get anything from it, and just we serve only to please the person. That's all. And if you come to that platform, then we'll be able to really appreciate the consciousness of the gopis. We may not be able to come to the platform of the gopis, and we'll never come also. But at least we'll be able to understand that what is gopis means, how difficult for us to do that also, come to selfless service. As Burijan Prabhu was mentioning that, for a sadhaka like us, that we mind our own business and let Krishna mind his own business. Let Krishna mind his own business. Let Krishna do, Krishna knows what is best to do for his devotees. So let him do. Let him do what he wants to do. Whereas as far as we are concerned, we do what we are supposed to do. So we mind our own business and let Krishna mind his own business. So Krishna knows what is best for himself. Krishna knows how to deal with others. Krishna knows how to reciprocate with each and every living entities in this particular universe, in this particular creation. So let Krishna do his own job. Let us do our own jobs. This is how we understand that. And the last one is a very nice statement here. To lose transcendental sight of Krishna is certainly a great disaster for one trying to relish the bliss of the absolute truth. So if you miss the main point behind, rather than trying to spend our time in trying to analyze why Krishna did like this and why Krishna did immoral activities like this and this and that, he should not have done that, and discuss about it for hours, instead of that, better to just engage in positive devotion service and active devotion service and enrich and enlighten our consciousness by that. And ultimately, when the right time comes, Krishna will reveal what is necessary for us to know. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.